Lord's help, we'll venture in the word of this morning, in the first chapter in the Gospel according to John, and verse 11 and 12. Verse 11 and 12 in the first chapter in the Gospel according to John. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Yes, my friends, he did come unto his own, and they received him not in the testimony of the Scriptures. They received him not in the declarations of God, his Father. And so they have no gospel, and so they have no Lamb. Where is the Lamb? They asked. Oh, the gospel declares the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. The gospel declares that he came according to the promise. Unto you is born a son, a child whose name should be called Emmanuel. He came unto his own, and sadly, oh so sadly, they received him not. They didn't receive the testimony of God concerning him. They didn't receive him into their hearts by faith. They never received him as King or Lord or Saviour, but as many as received him. My mind still ponders the coming of a sinner, his being received by the Saviour, and his receiving of the Saviour in his heart. And I still ponder here. We spoke a little of Bartimaeus, didn't we? The blind man. They couldn't keep him away. They couldn't keep him from coming. Who had faith raised up in his heart secretly to realise that this was the Son of God that could cure his blindness. They couldn't keep him away. When he knew that he passed by, he cried the more, saying, and did he receive Christ? He'd received Christ already by faith. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, have mercy upon me. He'd received him, that he was a merciful Saviour. He who came to be a light, to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of his people Israel. He who came to open blind eyes and unstop deaf ears, and make the dumb to speak and the lame to leap as an heart. He'd received that in his heart. He'd received Christ. Now he received Christ in his mercy. And that other blind man in his testimony. Who hath opened thine eyes? Is not this the Christ? And they put away with him, didn't they? They spurned him and rejected him. But he had received Christ. Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. And he knew and believed that this was the very Christ that had opened his eyes. Will he also become his disciples? He had received in his heart Christ as his master, and he a disciple that would follow him all the days of his life. He'd received him. The power and the right were given to him to believe on his name for life and for eternity. Will he also be his disciple? And they cast him out. And they bring unto Jesus him that is cast out. Oh, what a Saviour we have. What a coming there is to a Saviour, full of compassion. Oh, what a receiving there was there. Take another case for a moment. The centurion who received Christ in a very different way. Lord, come and heal my servant. Lord, I am a man of authority. I recognize in you the Saviour. I only have to say to my man, go and he goeth, and come and he cometh. I'm not worthy, Lord. Harry received the Saviour with all power to heal. I am not worthy, Lord, that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Not might be, shall be. He received him as having authority and not as the scribes. Many received him, but never man spake like this man, for this man spake with authority and not as the scribes. And so that centurion was received by Christ in a most wonderful way of love. Behold, I have not seen so great faith, no, not in Israel. And his servant was healed from that very hour. Great faith. You see the coming of a sinner in his need unto a Saviour in his power to supply. And see the commendation and see the receiving of such by Jesus Christ. Not to turn aside or spurn. Ye seek me, said the Lord to these Pharisees, not because ye would believe on me, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. That's the only reason why you've come to see me. You've not come truly to believe that I am the Son of God. You've only come to tempt me, to prove me. What must we do that we must work the works of God? This is the work of God, said Jesus, that ye believe on him whom he has sent. For him hath God the Father sealed. Those Pharisees never received him. They never received him by the testimony of God or by his own testimony. What a refusing that is. Take another coming sinner, Mary, out of whom the Lord had cast seven devils. Her character, having love, having been forgiven much, she loved much. And her coming was so very different to Simon Peter's, wasn't it? It's my house. If I don't choose to provide water or give the Saviour a kiss, that's my business. Sounds crude, doesn't it? But it's true. The Spirit was there. A sinful spirit is a crude spirit, and careless and unkind. The spirit of Mary was such that she was unasked, uninvited, but she came. She might have vainly hoped that Peter would welcome her. Her presence, her love, her kindness to the Saviour and Master. None of that. Thou never gavest me a kiss. Nothing parallel in his experience. Thou never brought water to wash my feet. Nothing parallel here but this woman. This woman, ever since she came in, hath not ceased. What a coming. To put it in the scriptural perspective, against my burial, says the Lord, has she done this? She received the Lord in her heart. This man, this dear man, that cast out those devils out of my soul, that has so loved me and been merciful to me and helped me and forgiven me, this dear man, of whom is written, they shall crucify him, they shall put him to death. She came receiving Christ in the testimony of Scripture that this dear man, the Saviour of mankind, was to be soon put to death cruelly and for sinners and to be buried. And her love was such that she couldn't bear the thought. And she, like Mary, kept all these things in her heart and came where he was and manifested a love so great. And she was so received of Christ in her reception of him as the Saviour that Christ said, seest thou this woman? She has done what she could. She has wrought more than ye all. And this should be spoken of wherever the gospel is preached. My friend, the gospel is preached, and this woman is so often spoken of. It fulfills the Saviour's love. One that received Christ. One that had power to become the sons of God. A daughter, a true daughter. She has done this against my burial. She has loved much because she was forgiven much. A true daughter of Zion. A true daughter. And don't you feel that woman would have been amazed to have heard the Saviour say to Peter, and for a witness in the gospel, this woman. She would have said, don't speak of me, Lord. Don't speak of me, Lord. But he did. And he commended her to all who follow in the gospel. But here was a woman who loved much because she was forgiven much. Who had received the Saviour into her sinful heart because he had forgiven her her iniquities. Who loved him not only because he'd pardoned her sins. Who loved him for his sake alone. You see, my friends, there's a growing in grace when we can love beyond the pardon and the benefits we receive, when we can love him for his sake alone. I often think of that sweet mark of grace, you know, even so come, Lord Jesus. It's only the godly that pray this. You know, it doesn't mean that we want to die, does it? But the godly pray it, even so come quickly, Lord Jesus. It declares the state of your heart, doesn't it? The state of your want of Christ and to be redeemed one day by, well, it speaks of that we've read of tonight, waiting for the adoption, adopted as sons and daughters and waiting for the adoption of the family of God into heaven. Even so come, Lord Jesus. I can't live without thee, Lord. It isn't a prayer to be taken home, is it? It's a prayer that the Lord would so come into his heart. There's a receiving of him by a desire and by revelation as well. And one last illustration in these things. The prodigal. A father had two sons. You may have more. But there's a prodigal. And the prodigal's heart was to a demand of his father. He couldn't wait for him to die. Couldn't wait to lay hold upon his riches. Father, give me the portion that falleth to me. He wouldn't have treasured the thought had his father said, well, do you know how to spend it? Do you know how to use it? You won't spend it in riotous living, will you? He wouldn't have welcomed that thought, would he? But he went and spent it in riotous living. And his receiving of Jesus Christ was set forth by Jesus Christ himself, whether in by a true occasion or by parable, we know not. But in true teaching, he began to be in one. The Holy Spirit's work is to cause sinners to be in want. Bunyan, you know, in his early ministry and young days, felt such liberty, he said, in preaching the want of sinners. That they want a Saviour. That they are sinners and are hell deserving and going that way. He said, he preached the want. And then he preached the worth of Christ. And for 6 years he felt such liberty in preaching those two things, and God blessed his ministry when he set forth a sinner's need and the Saviour's worth. Now that sinner, that prodigal, began to be in want. And the testimony of Jesus is that he came to himself. Now when a sinner comes to himself, he feels to need a Saviour. He feels the need of repentance toward God. And as Jesus set forth that parable, he wasn't showing us only a prodigal. He was setting forth the truth of God, that it's repentance toward God and faith in Jesus Christ. That's the gospel, isn't it? Sinner, if you don't know, repentance before God and faith toward Jesus Christ to receive him as your Saviour, you're out of the secret. But the prodigal began to be in want and came to himself and said within himself, I will arise. Here was his receiving of Christ. I will arise. Jesus sets forth those who come in the gospel as those that are taught by the Spirit to be in want. The prayer put in their hearts, I will arise and go unto my Father. Here's the preparation to receive a father whom he'd sinned against. Supposing he would be angry and cross. Supposing that he would be refusing of him. But the Saviour knew that his Father in heaven wouldn't refuse any coming sinner. Wouldn't turn any coming sinner away. Father, I've sinned against heaven. You see the truth of repentance toward God. I've sinned against heaven. And in thy sight, or before thee, sin is an awful thing, you young people. You older ones as well. Sin is an awful thing. Oh, it's so subtle. Oh, it's so deceptive. Oh, it will separate you from your God. It will separate you from your family and your friends, and for years it might separate you. Sin! Avoid it, my friend. Sin is awful. I've sinned against heaven and before thee. I've sinned against the Father that I love. The Father that has been good to me, and even been good enough to give me the portion that falleth to me. And I've wasted it all with riotous living. Oh, the regrets of sinners. Oh, the reproach upon their spirit. And so they come. Do they come expecting to be received of Christ? But Jesus shows how his Father deals with coming sinners. When he was a great way off, his Father saw him and had compassion on him and ran and fell upon his neck and kissed him. I am not worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Love aways with such truth. Objections, they were so true. He was worthy of that rejection, but he never found him. And I can't say in this sense, in that parable, that he received Jesus Christ into his heart in that way, but you know, it declares the way the Saviour receives sinners in the gospel. Love, divine pity and compassion and power in the Father and in the love of the Saviour. He ran, fell on the coming sinner's neck and kissed him. Away with all arguments. He was his son. He was his son. Bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Bring it forth. He's covered in filth. He's plastered in the husk that the swine did eat. He is filthy. He is offensive in his dress. Bring forth the best robe for such. It anticipates washing, doesn't it? Clothing. Bring forth the best, the ring, and put it on his finger, denoting love in the gospel, eternal love. Ah, my friends, the best robe and put it on him. Adorn him in that. And kill the fatted calf and let us eat, drink, and be merry. For here's the reception of God. Here, sinner, is the embrace of a precious Christ. You come to him just as you are. And some of us have had to, haven't we? Blessed be God. We've come with nothing in our hands, haven't we? No better excuse than God be merciful to me, a sinner. Beautiful, beautiful, because there were no commendations there, no excuses there, no justification there. God be merciful, on the ground of his mercy, a coming sinner. But what reception. For this thy son, this thy brother was lost and is found, was dead and is alive again. This is the reception of Christ by a sinner, of a sinner. He was lost, and is found. Oh, how many of you have had to receive a Saviour who came to seek and to save that which is lost. I was lost and he found me. Ah, said the Lord beyond that. Dead and is alive again. Dead to God by enmity and by wicked works and by sin. Dead and is alive again. His spirit is alive. In that spirit he has come. He's quicker. He knows enlivening grace. And he comes. He comes to a Saviour. Ah, but said Jesus, somewhat beyond that, I tell you, there is joy in heaven among the angels of God over one sinner that repents. A sinner that truly repents is a sinner that receives the Lord. And one who receives the Lord receives him by faith into their heart. My friends, do you know the embrace of the Saviour's love, pity, compassion and power, falling on his neck and kissing you? You know, proud man would be too proud to be forgiven. A proud man doesn't want anyone to be gracious or be merciful. A proud man does not know how to receive Christ. We have to be humbled to receive Christ. We sing a hymn and it's so precious to my soul at the moment. Dear Jesus, draw my soul to thee, my Lord. Make me love thy precious word. Bid me seek thy smiling face, willing to be saved by grace. A proud sinner's too unhumbled to be saved by grace. He wants to save himself. He wants to come fit and righteous in God's sight. He wants to bring something for a plea. Nothing, nothing. Willing to be saved by grace. That's how we receive Christ, isn't it? But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. The ability, the right, the privilege. Now those that are made willing to be saved by grace receive the spirit of adoption. They are born, are declared to be the sons of God. By the adopting grace and spirit of God, they cry, Abba Father. Be very cautious if you claim religion to. If your religion is without this willingness to be saved by grace. Not by any other means. Willing to be saved by grace. Now look for a little farther. We have in this text, I'm quite sure, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born of God. I think of some of the great religions of the world in their cultures. They're not born of God, are they? They're born of the will of man and of the will of the flesh. Their culture consist in the family becoming Muslim or Hindus. They are devoted to it. All the family, or Catholics, as they're brought up in their traditions. But Could you say that of your children? Are all your children Christian? Or will you say, none but the grace of God can make my lad or my girl a Christian? We can't give them grace. Oh, we have to prove that they are born not of the will of man, nor of the will of the flesh, but born of God. I ponder these things with you just for a little while longer. There's a sweet coming, isn't there, to the Lord by need, and sometimes in despair, and sometimes by prayer and by desire. But in all the truth and verity, there is a coming. O Lamb of God, I come just as I am. Thy love unknown has broken every barrier down now to be thine. Nay, thine alone, O Lamb of God, I come. That's the spirit of adoption. There's a prayer in a sinner's heart for the Lord to breathe his spirit upon them. Now, in the chapter to the Galatians, we read this, that because ye are sons, that's the foundation of this truth today. Because ye are sons, chosen in a covenant of grace, to admire, oh, to admire the whole charter of grace. Grace in God, glorious. Grace in Jesus Christ, glorious. Grace in his heart to sinners, glorious. Grace in your soul, glorious. Oh, my friends, because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Only those that are made willing to be saved by grace will ever cry on their bended knees, Father, Father, and realize that he is their Father, that they can lay claim to a heavenly Father and a gracious Father, and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and a Father who so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, no, not perish, but have everlasting life. Because ye are sons, loved of God, chosen of God from the foundation of the world, haven't we read tonight? Of those to whom there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus, foreknown, predestinated, called, justified, and at last glorified. Because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son. And what is the Spirit of his Son but his saving Spirit? And what is his Spirit of his Son but the Holy Spirit that he sends as the Spirit of truth, and the Spirit that enlivens and enlightens and empowers? We've spoken of coming, haven't we? How do sinners come without enlightening? Without enlivening of their spirits? Without enlightening grace in their soul? Without having received Christ in the testimony of him from the Word, that he is a precious Saviour and that they need such a Saviour, that he is a faithful Saviour? And so mysteriously and gently and graciously sinners are drawn and sinners are led by the Spirit to believe into Jesus Christ and to receive him by faith into their hearts and to own him as Lord of all. Oh, my friends, because ye are sons, chosen and adopted, and therefore God has sent forth. Oh, but the love. Can you admire the love of God that has sent forth the Spirit of his dear Son? Oh, said the apostle as he entered into that Spirit, who loved me? So easy to repeat it in a few words, isn't it? Who loved me and gave himself for? Has this ever broken your heart? A view of a precious Christ who loves you. Who loves you notwithstanding all, and loves you still, and gave himself for you in that love, and you are left drawn to view his wounded side and hand, and enter into a little of the fellowship of his suffering, and it breaks your heart. Oh, my friends, this is how we receive Christ. And the spirit of adoption is sent forth by the love of the Father. You know, when we're early wrought upon, we don't understand the grace of God. We don't understand the love of God. We little understand the love of Christ. And it is but a little we understand now, but we understand more, don't we? We worship and adore the God of all grace, and the God of love, the Father who is love, and the Saviour whose heart is a constant flame of love, who delighted to do the will of God in our salvation and to suffer for it. Oh, believer, your joy and your meditation of him is sweet, it's precious, and it's a lifelong experience, isn't it? To joy in the Lord, and joy in the Lord that you have received into your heart by faith as he graciously reveals himself to you. The love of the Father in giving his only begotten Son, and the love of Christ in coming, and in dying and ascending into heaven, that he might send from the Father the promise of the Father, which is the Comforter, who shall take of the things of mine and show them unto you in a way that you will receive me and love me and follow me. You'll receive the testimony, he would say, from my word. What did Jesus say when he was on earth? If ye believe not me, that I am come from the Father, ye shall die in your sins. They didn't receive him. They didn't receive the word. But our text this night, and I must not be much longer, but he speaks of those that receive him. Now, in this sense, we receive Jesus Christ. We're not at all without the quickening grace of God the Holy Spirit. Without quickening, we are dead. The dead know not anything. But being quickened, we know we're sinners. We know we need a Saviour. That Saviour is revealed to us by the Spirit. We hunger and thirst after righteousness to be right with God. We desire to be at peace with God through his pardoning grace. Now there's quickening grace. That's how we receive Christ. There's enlightening grace. The blessed Spirit of truth opens up in the preaching of the word, the truth as it is in Jesus, in such a way as the soul is enlightened to see and to believe. The Lord Jesus Christ tested his disciples on one occasion. Whom do men say that I am? Men that don't receive me. Oh, some say you're Elias or that prophet. But whom say ye that I am? That's the test. I want to know what you say. Said Peter, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And we believe and are sure. Again, said Jesus in his testing, will ye also go away? Proving whether they'd received him or not in the love of him. Lord, to whom can we go? Isn't that a blessed receiving when your answer is like that? Will you also go away? To whom can we go, Lord? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. There's the reception of Christ in the gospel. Say, but I'm not a disciple. But are you a poor sinner? Are you a disciple called by grace? Are you one who seeks to follow because you've heard your master's voice and you won't want to go away but want to keep closer and live near his heart? Obey his voice and all his will esteem. You call me Master and Lord, yet do not the things that I say. They've never received him as Master and Lord, have they? They've never, in the expression I put to you this morning, given their heart to the Lord. They've never received Christ as their Saviour. And you that heard me this morning will understand what I mean. If there's a receiving, they will do what he says. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the Son. As many, says John, as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The Spirit that calls us leads us. He leads us in truth. He leads us in the ways of life and in the ways of truth. Jesus says, I am the way, the life, and the truth. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Is this the proof of your religion tonight? Have you received Christ? Do you know the power, that gracious enabling, to call him Master and Lord and do the things that he said? Does Satan hinder you? Does Satan tempt you to give up? Does self justify your disobedience to walk in gospel paths and gospel ordinances? Sinful self hinder you? Oh, that you might so receive Christ in his love, in his dying love, that you have to confess like the hymn writer, thy love has broken every barrier down. No hindrances now, none to hinder you to be baptized, who have received the Lord by faith into your heart. And let me speak of a further receiving of the Lord into the heart. By the revelation and testimony of God himself in the Word. When, said John, we heard a voice from the excellent glory. What more could you want, sinner? They wanted a sign. What sign does they work? But John heard a voice from the most excellent glory. Be lifted up, my friends, to this excellent glory and hear the declaration of your Saviour from heaven. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. The way to receive Christ is by the hearing of faith and by the word of truth. Many stumbled at it. But sinner, now you've been in the way for a while, believer, consider this truth. This is my beloved Son, my only Son, loved of me because he is a dear Son and an obedient Son. He was willing to take a body like yours. He came in the likeness of sin, and for sin condemned it and suffered for it, that we might be called the children of God, my beloved Son. Oh, the love of the Father toward his Son, divine love, the fullness of love that has affected your hearts and mine, the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Well pleased? Sinner, he won't be well pleased with you. He'll only be well pleased with that sinner that leans on Jesus' breast, that is made willing to be saved by grace, that trusts him entirely, that receives him in this way that I will shortly come to, by way of consent. But let's consider further the receiving. Jesus, God, declared his Son, a child shall be born. Behold my servant, mine elect, he shall not fail, nor be discouraged. He hath set righteousness in the earth, and the isle shall wait for his law or gospel. Oh, my friends, the believing and receiving of Christ by the declaration of the Father in the Word of God is so vital. And do you know that enabling? Then you have power. If you know the enabling of the Spirit to believe that God is, and a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, and a rewarder of them that put their trust in him. Ah, my friends, there's the power of a child of God to so believe and so to trust and so to commit their soul for life and for eternity and all their concerns into the hand of Almighty God, who hath declared himself and declared his Son and revealed his Son from heaven in so many ways. And it is the Spirit that bears witness to that truth, because the Spirit is truth. He's the Spirit of his dear Son. And he will cause you to know your need, and him who can supply your need, and him who can pardon, and him that can justify, and him that can vindicate you from the law of God, and him that can grant peace and shed abroad the love of God in your hearts. Now what a sweet receiving when we can receive the testimony of God's own mouth to Jesus Christ. What of receiving the words of Jesus Christ himself? I am come a light into the world, and men love darkness because their deeds were evil. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh I will in no wise cast out. Except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. Except ye eat the body and drink the blood, ye have no life in you. Oh, be thankful to God tonight, believer, if you've ever received Christ from the testimony of his own mouth in the Scriptures, and believed in the infallible word of truth, God's revelation to the nations, but moreover, by the Spirit, the revelation of life and hope and joy and comfort in your own soul, by the Spirit of revelation in your soul. And have you received Jesus Christ by the testimony of the Spirit's own embrace, the Spirit's own power in adopting you into the family of Christ, sons and daughters, with the sweet testimony, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Daughter, go in peace, conveyed into your soul with life-giving power, melting, softening, raising your soul up to embrace by faith a precious Christ and God in the mercies of his heart. Now, that's how we receive Christ. Ye have not so learned Christ, said the apostle, to those believers he saw were wavering and walking in worldly ways. Ye have not so learned Christ. Who hath bewitched you that ye should look back again and become ensnared again? And who hath turned you from the simplicity in Christ? But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. The sons of God are brought into liberty, a gracious liberty, through the knowledge of the truth, and are set free. They know their God. They know their Saviour. They know who has called them to life and hope and eternal glory. Of old, the children of Israel said, we avouch this day the Lord our God to be our God. Now, my last thought this evening. We receive Christ by an ascent of the soul, in believing about him and believing of him and believing in him. There's a sweet ascent of a poor sinner's soul. This Saviour is my Saviour. And then we receive him by way of consent. I know that thou art an hard God, reaping where thou hast not strawed. Here's your talent. I was afraid. Have it back. No consent here, is there? No consent. But a poor sinner says, make me, Lord, thine own. Lord, make me love thee. Constrain me to follow thee. Thy people, like Ruth, thy people should be my people. Thy God, my God, where thou dwellest, I will go. Where thou diest, I will die. Love. A consent is a receiving of Christ. They declared, as Paul said, whose I am and who I serve. Now I leave it with you. But as many as received him, to them gave he power, the gracious enabling, the gracious ability the right, the authority, the privilege, the grace of a son of God and a daughter called by grace to know him, to follow him. And how are you kept? By faith, looking to the word of faith, believing and trusting it, humbly following the Lord. For many the love grew cold. For many they walked back and walked no more with him. They couldn't endure his saying. They couldn't receive them. But many followed him. Oh, that you and I might be one who has received him in the testimony of the Father, of his own grace and the Spirit's testimony. Received him by the Spirit. Unction, light and power, an enlivening grace to walk so as to be not a hearer of the word but a doer of the word. And a word to you who may seek him: if the Lord is striving with your spirit, the day may come soon, I hope, when your spirit will be broken down by his almighty love and you'll be made willing in the day of his power to be saved by grace, willing to obey him, willing to follow him, and find his grace enables you to do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. The Lord add his blessing. Amen.
Our closing hymn is taken from Hymns for Worship, and is number 184, and we're singing it to the tune Wells 507. Hymn 184. When this passing world is done, when has sunk yon radiant sun, when I stand with Christ on high, looking over life's history, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then, how much I owe. Hymn 184.
thy people to us. We are a companion of all them that fear thee. Lord, grant us grace to commend once more the beloved pastor, our beloved friend and brother, to thee in his pastorate, in his concern and in his ministry and travail, in his love. Lord, thou hast blessed him. Go on to bless him. Give him sweet tokens of thy love. Bless him in his usefulness. Make him a blessing in this place and elsewhere. Grant him the convoy of thy love at all time. Bless his dear partner in life and his family in their concern. O Lord, bless this congregation, and together with the members of this church, may be they a church as a great army that come up from the washing, every one of them bearing twins. May it speak of thy love, that those that feared the Lord spake often of thy name. That book of remembrance set up for those that feared the Lord, that thought upon his name. And now, Lord, to thy journeying mercies, to thy sovereign grace, we would submit and ask heavenly benediction, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of God, the Holy Spirit, now and evermore. Amen.